That means that that person then will make a credible profession of the Lord Jesus. Let a man examine himself. That means the church is to cause him to do so. And then let him eat of that bread. And the burden of examination is upon the individual participating. He must declare his own faith and his own delight in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And of course, it will show. It will show in his whole testimony, his walk, his witness, his rejoicing in the gospel. He will be one who will hold forth, one walking in a gospel manner. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and again we're coming to the communion table, what has to be one of the most holy, sacred moments in a born-again believer's life, when we take in hand that cup that is red, and that bread reminding us of the purity of Jesus' pure, sinless body. What are we to do with them? What do these symbols mean? Is this faith, or is this mere physical? And of course, the gospel gives us the answer. Jesus has ordained these two symbols to be means of remembering his death as our redemption. And so stay tuned with us today as we go to our message on what is communion. We have the beautiful hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, and Hallelujah for the Cross. So what I simply want to do today is to look at who should take this cup and who should not. Who should come and take this cup and who should not? Well, let's deal with those who should not come, those who are incapable, unready to take this cup. I'm not going to be very thorough. I'm just going to state a few pointers here. Number one, mockers should not participate at this table. The person who mocks the gospel, the supernatural, the deity of Christ, the atoning blood, the miracles of the grace of God at work through Christ, the person who laughs at that and dismisses it as rubbish or old wives' fables or just what silly people get excited about, such a person does not discern the Lord's body. They may not come. Then also those who are not frequent, constant worshipers. Oh, they learn somehow. It's communion in church. Haven't been to church for months, but they want to come to communion. And there are churches like that. You will see churches, you drive by, and there's hardly anybody at the church for weeks. And then when it's communion Sunday, the place is bursting. Cars lined up and down the roads, people excited about getting into church. Why? Because it's Communion Sunday. And their whole attitude to communion is really suspect because they are not frequent worshipers. But they think that communion has to be attended as a way sort of to make up for all the other. There are those who want to serve the dollar 24/7. 7 days a week they're serving money, materialism, and the pleasures of the world. And then when it's a communion Sunday, they want to come and take the bread and the cup and declare that Christ is their Lord and Savior. That doesn't work. Those who live as the world, they're in the pub on Saturday night, they're at the nightclub, and they're enjoying the world, and they can hardly even get sobered up at time to get to church and receive communion Sunday morning. No, they have no interest in the Word of God, the law of God, the glory of God, the honor of Christ. We cannot have such people participating. Then there are those who have offended God or offended a brother, should not participate at the communion. Someone who has sinned grievously, committed adultery, broken the law of God, brought shame and disgrace to the name of Christ and his church. Well, we have a very clear example, by the way, here right in 1 Corinthians 5, of that fornicator. He was to be put away until there was repentance and restoration And then, thank God, in 2 Corinthians, we read of him being received back again. It's a great story. It's a sad story in one way of one who got into such a state that the church could not allow him to participate at communion. They were not to eat with him. But he repented, and he was restored and received back into the fellowship, and that is the medicine. That is a way of restoring, of healing the whole situation. And so if someone is living in breach of the Ten Commandments, living a lifestyle that's ungodly, well, how can you participate at this table? Those who turn the communion into merit for salvation, we should wave the red flag at them too, because they're only going to drink damnation rather than salvation. Sadly, and I said at the very beginning that the very simplest of emblems, bread and cup, very simplest of emblems, have been so abused that you can do this to climb the ladder to heaven. You get some kind of merit points because you've come to communion, and that makes you more right with God. Now, that is not gospel thinking. That is not even Christian thinking. That's not Calvary thinking. That's not even including the need for a man to be justified by grace. That's works. And the Lord did not design this table to be a means of working your way to heaven. So I've cleared away all those that should not come. Well, then who should come? Who should participate? Well, the Lord says here in verse 28, let a man examine himself. And we have to start with this point. The person who is capable and willing to examine himself. The person who is willing to say, okay, talk to me, guide me, show me what I need to know that I might eat and drink to God's glory and enjoy his grace. Now, obviously, little children cannot examine themselves. So we do not hold what's called pedo-communion. We do not have little children taking the cup. And some churches, unfortunately, that is done. And they think that because they're born into the church and they are covenant children, that they should take the cup. But they can't examine themselves. So how can we encourage them? Then there are others who are unwilling to examine themselves. It wouldn't matter what age they are, and it doesn't matter if they grew up in the church or come in new. Don't ask me if I'm right with God. Don't talk to me that I might be need to prepare myself or do something to get right with God. You have no right to ask this of me. That's the attitude of rebellion and rejection. And so such a person should not participate at the table. The Lord Jesus said that except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now that really is a gospel statement, because there is a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they boasted that they were good enough and they did everything properly and they were really perfunctory about everything they did. Who could excel the Pharisee? But in the gospel plan, there is a righteous one who did everything that we should have done. That's the Lord Jesus. And there is the provision of his righteousness to the believer to clothe us, that we may stand in his righteousness. And by that means, we may come. So, are we worthy of ourselves? Not one of us. But if you have received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus as the garment, the dress for heaven, you are invited. You are ready to come because you are standing clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That means that that person then will make a credible profession of the Lord Jesus. Let a man examine himself. That means the church is to cause him to do so. And then let him eat of that bread. And the burden of examination is upon the individual participating. He must declare his own faith and his own delight in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And of course, it will show. It will show in his whole testimony, his walk, his witness, his rejoicing in the gospel. He will be one who will hold forth, one walking in a gospel manner. It's not just an empty lip profession, but it's a whole new life in love with the Lord Jesus. And so Let a man examine himself, hold a credible profession of faith. Then also, those who understand the gospel and trust in Christ's death alone for salvation should come to the table. You should come. Let a man examine himself and let him eat. Don't keep him away. If you can say, Christ died for me and his blood has washed away my sins, then eat and drink. Come to remember the one who hath so died for you. And if that is your statement of faith, then you can truly remember and rehearse and enter into the blessedness of this. Now, to understand the gospel and the death of Christ, it means, of course, that Jesus stands in your place. He becomes your surety. I want to give you an example of that word surety. It might help us all today. If you remember the story of Jacob's sons going down to Egypt, and when Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, they all got into trouble with Joseph, and he sent them home, and he put money in the bags, in the grain bags, and then that money was discovered, and they all got themselves into trouble. Well, when they went back to Joseph, or back to Jacob, and the famine persisted, they had to go back to Egypt again. And Jacob said, put double money, take double money with you. And they said, no, but we must bring Benjamin with us, because Joseph inquired about another brother. And we told him about Benjamin. And we have been told not to come down into Egypt unless we bring Benjamin. And Jacob, I don't want that to happen. And then Judah stepped forward and he said to his father, I will be surety for Benjamin. And if we get into trouble and Benjamin's life is in danger, I will take the blame. I will stand in his place. And so after some time, Jacob relented and they took Benjamin with them back down to Egypt to buy more grain. And then Joseph, well, he really played up the game, didn't he? And Benjamin, he got five times the food supply and the mess that the others got. And then he told his men to put money into his bags, and he was caught so-called red-handed with all this money and silver out of Egypt. And they were going to hold Benjamin. And then Judah stepped forward to be surety in the place of Benjamin. The Lord Jesus is our surety. He is the one that came from heaven and he said to the Father, I will take the place of sinful men. All their guilt and all their wrongdoing, all their condemnation, let it fall on me. And the Lord is the surety of his people. He stands in our place. As I take that cup and bread, I need that mindset. I need to rejoice that there is one who has borne it all for me and who brings every blessing into my soul, and I have peace with God. Payment God cannot twice demand. From whence this fear and unbelief, hath not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for me? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin which, Lord, was charged on thee? That's the gospel. And that's the mindset. That's the discerning of the Lord's body that we need as we take that cup and as we take that bread. If this gospel ministers to your heart, if you're saying today, that's the Savior I need, that's the salvation that I'm hoping in, then take and eat. Don't hold back. Enter in to receive all that is yours today by faith. Also, those who seek the grace of Christ to grow, participate in the communion. You're saying, I need to grow more in Christ. I don't claim to be perfect. I don't claim to be the best Christian around. I have a lot of growing to do. I feel weak at times. I feel the pressure of the world, and I feel bombarded with temptation, and I know that I need to be strengthened in the inner man to be a better Christian. Well, the Lord says, eat and drink. And if you're looking unto Jesus to put strength within your soul, eat and drink. We come very like those lepers that needed cleansing. And if you recognize that you have spiritual leprosy, there is the great physician. The Lord Jesus will heal you, and he'll clean up your life more and more. He'll sanctify you. This is a purifying work. This is a work to make you more holy, more godly, more Christ-like, more ready for heaven. Therefore, eat and drink. You might be asking, what is the advantage of taking this cup and bread to my soul? Well, I turn to Matthew Henry to help answer this question. And he used the text Hebrews 12:3, and I'd like to turn you to that. Hebrews 12, verse 3. What's the advantage of taking this cup and eating of this bread as symbols of Jesus' death on the cross? Well, as you know, this passage talks about looking unto Jesus. And why are we to look unto Jesus? Well, the reason given is verse 3, for, which is another term that can be because, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We need strength, spiritual strength. It's not muscles we need, it's faith, stronger faith, spiritual power, victory in prayer, boldness for Jesus. I want to quote what Matthew Henry said. There is a proneness in the best Christian to grow weary and to faint under their trials, especially if they are prolonged trials. I think there's enough of us here today to say that's right. It's one thing to have a disappointment for one day, but when you get constant disappointments and frustrations and the tide has turned and it seems the tide has gone out and you become weary, the best way to prevent this, getting weary in times of trial and difficulty, the best way to prevent this weariness is to look unto Jesus and consider him. Faith and meditation will fetch in fresh supplies of strength, comfort, and courage. For the Lord has assured them, if they suffer with him, they shall also reign with him. And this hope will be their helmet. Good old common sense Matthew Henry. I would like you perhaps to dig that one out. If you don't have a copy of Matthew Henry, go Google it. And you'll get it online, Matthew Henry Commentary, Hebrews 12, verse 3. You'll find it. And take that advice. Coming to this table is not just helping your memory of Calvary. It is bringing the grace of Calvary into your life. How does it work? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But it works. I would say this. The godliest Christians on earth take great delight in the communion feast. The person who neglects the communion feast will be marked by spiritual weakness. That's the result. This is really the Lord's marriage banquet. And you eat and drink to announce your love for Christ and to delight in his love for you. So the question really is now, do you love Jesus? Do you really love the Lord Jesus? That's really what counts now. Of all that you know of him, of all that you've received from him, is your heart inclined, filled with love, and it thrills your soul? His love pouring into you, and you can truly say as you take that cup that you love the Lord Jesus. And then a final point I must not miss, because someone will say to me at the door, Ian, you missed this, and I will not enjoy my lunch today if I don't preach this. Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me till he come. Till he come. And so, there is in this cup an expectation that the Lord's program is at work, and I'm part of it. I'm a part of the Lord's program, watching and waiting for the appearing of my glorious Savior. And I'm going to be busy in the kingdom work. I'm going to keep my garments white. I'm going to walk the walk that will honor my Savior. And I'm going to use this spiritual help to wait and watch for the coming of my Redeemer till he come, and never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. So when you go home today and someone asks you, what did you do in church today? We remembered our Lord Jesus. We ate and drank of the cup and the bread, that we might enter into more the blessedness and the sweetness of the Savior to our souls. And of course, one day we're going to give account. When Christ comes, we'll give account. How many communions did you sit at? Will the Lord Jesus ask us that? I don't think that's going to be down far down the list of questions when the Lord returns. Did you sit at my communion table? Did you eat and drink to remember me? Did you seek the grace that is offered you? Oh, I want to be able to say, Lord Jesus, I delighted. Every time I took that cup and bread, I delighted. And Lord, it broke my heart if it couldn't be there. It broke my heart if it couldn't be there. It might be sickness, it might be something else that kept me away. But Lord, I wanted to be there. And I took great delight every time that I received that cup and bread and I remembered you. And Lord Jesus, I know you've remembered me. That will be our great delight. Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us here, and we're continuing just a few thoughts on the Christian taking that communion cup. The things that we need to remember, that Christ is the standard for our faith. As an army standard was often a pole with the insignia of the nation, going forth to battle against the foe. So as we take that cup and bread, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so this teaches us that we need faith in Christ as the author and finisher of our salvation. He is the full designer of full salvation, and our redemption is all in and of the Lord. There is nothing left for us to do. He is both the architect and the person who hands over the key to the building, or in our case, gives us the key to heaven. And so as we come to the cup, we come with confidence, knowing that we have the Savior, who is the very door to heaven himself. We need faith in Christ's work and what he has done on the cross. That is, the battle that raged at Calvary accomplished our redemption. God's wrath was satisfied in the atoning death of our Lord Jesus. Through the shedding of Christ's blood, atonement was made and God's wrath was put away. As a sacrifice, our Lord Jesus suffered and got the victory for his people. And you and I are now to come to that cross and stand amazed at his love for us. You and I are to feast our eyes upon his bruised body. Look, sinner, look at the crucified one. Oh, just stop what you are doing, and cease from all your own works, and gaze upon the man Christ Jesus upon the cross. Why was he there? You must answer that question with gladness, with promptitude, and with a full heart. He was there for me. It was for my sin that Jesus died, and it was for my salvation that the cross was planned. And so it is with that confidence that we take the cup and declare and show forth our faith that is well placed in the Son of God as our Redeemer. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Stay tuned now just for these closing few announcements.
The Nazareth story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame has brought me up. Alleluia, Jesus ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will never tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Alleluia, Jesus ransomed me. From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me when I knew him, what he sought me, and in love divine he ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Unceasing, lifted up to be with Christ eternally. I will join the hosts there singing in the anthem ever-ringing tune. The King of love who ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Alleluia, Jesus ransomed me.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope you have been blessed today through our ministry of the gospel. We have a wonderful Savior, and I invite you to trust in him as your Savior too. The Bible is very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Look it up in your Bible. Pray over that very verse for the wonderful promise of God's salvation. And I assure you, the Lord will save you. And if I can be of any personal help, or if I can send you a gospel booklet, encourage you and guide you, please send me an email to ltbsradio@gmail.com. When you email me, I can also sign you up to receive these programs each week as a podcast. My email again is ltbsradio@gmail.com. If you wish to write, send your letter to Let the Bible Speak, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. I trust that you will have a blessed week as you walk with the Lord and as you feed on His Word. Remember that to abide in His Word is the way to have the Lord abide in you.